You know, when you read the Bible, the beginning of God having a covenant with a people, which is with Israel. So when Israel was asking for a king, you know, God was not really happy about that decision of theirs, right? God didn't like it. But God gave them a king anyways. And then the major point that God was making was that, you see, that they didn't have to be like other nations. Huh? But they were saying that they wanted to be like other nations. But God was saying that they didn't have to be like other nations. They were still going to be a nation, you see. But they're not going to be like other ones. So it's like God knows about, it's like God has an idea or God has a desire to have his own nation. Do you understand that? Because he made them a nation and a people, you see, but he wanted them to be a nation, but to be more of an example, not like other nations. And that's why I was worshiping him as the king of this kingdom. Like, this is a nation. The church is a what?
Nation.
It's a nation. It's just that in this nation, everybody is made a king. It's a different type of nation. In other nations, not everybody is a king. But in this particular nation, it's a very strange nation. It's a nation of kings and priests. Very fantastic. It's not like, it's also a nation, but its modus operandi is not like the world. And I mean, this nation, the kings also serve. You see, like the kings serve, and the kings give their lives, you see, for the subjects of that nation, of that kingdom. In the world, it's not like that. In the world, the subjects give their lives for the king, right? But in this particular one, the king was the one who came and died for us. So it is also a nation, right? But it's a different one. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
It's a different nation, but it's also a nation. Glory to God. You know, one of the revelations that God has given me is building a nation for the Lord. You know, it's actually meant to be a nation. You see, the church, church is like the, it's like when you say the church, the ecclesia is the identity. Nationhood is the expression. Ecclesia is the what? Is the identity. Nationhood is what? Is the expression. But you know what has happened? We have, one of the things we did is that we have tabernacled, we have concluded that ministry is the expression. And by ministry, we are talking of the name of a church that operates Wednesdays and Sundays. And then it starts growing. And it becomes a big church. But that's one of the minutest expressions of it. It's actually a nation. Nationhood is the expression. So it's like we want to show the world how God expects us to live on earth. Do you know that's what we are for? That's what the ecclesia is for. The ecclesia is meant to show the world how God wants us to live on it. You know, because there's still going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Like, the rapture or the end of the world is not going to be the extinction of anything physical. There will still be physical engagement. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
So, we have to learn nationhood. We have to learn nationhood. And by nationhood, I'm talking the practical kingdom experience. You know, we have the kingdom message, but do we really have the kingdom experience? Do you get what I'm talking about? Let me give practical examples. Like, God has a plan. God has, like, the church of God must have the ability to solve every earthly problem. Yeah. Every problem upon the face of the earth. There must be solution in the church. I don't know if you are with me.
Yes, sir.
So, all of you need to listen to me very well, especially those who will come into pastoring and leadership. Nationhood is the plan. But when I mean nationhood, I'm not talking of democratic, all those stuff. I'm talking of living. Do you know that when you read the Bible, especially the New Testament, like, it literally covers every aspect of our life. Like, if you can follow the New Testament Bible, and even if you never went to school, you will be fine. Do you understand that? Like, you will live a good life. So we need to have the details installed in us. Installed in us of nation building. What did I call it?
Nation
building. I'm not talking about nation building of this one. I'm saying, like, the body of Christ, the church, this church, we must have a robust. You see, it is laziness for our visions to remain around Wednesday and Sunday. It's a spiritual, deep spiritual laziness. It has to be extremely robust in a way where we're praying for the government of the world, and our major prayer is for there not to be war. You know, that's what the Bible says we should pray about. It says, pray for your nation so that there will not be war, so that you can lead a peaceable. So it's not like the nation is providing. You've had peace, but you understand that if there's war, it will disrupt what we are doing. I don't know if you get what I'm talking about.
Yes,
like, if there's war, it will what? It will disrupt what we are doing. Are we friends here?
Yes,
where's Lyle? Lyle is not here. Are you sure you are with me? Are you following? All right. Praise God. So we need to receive a new installation. Can you help me, Joshua? Can you help me call the woman beside you? Yeah. Are you in this service? All right. Are you using your phone to jot what I'm saying, or you're looking at something else? All right, please. Are we together, friends?
Yes, sir.
It's nation building. God must install inside us a more robust. You know, I had on Friday, they got about some of the teenagers saved. Is that true? Got some of them saved. You see, that vacation, summer academy you're doing is a good one. It's a very good one. Do you know that when the church started in Acts chapter 2, the Bible said that, and none of them lacked anything? Did you read that thing? I don't know if you read that. Like when the church started, the church solved the economic challenge. They had apostolic wisdom to make sure that one of the reasons why someone did not lack was because he was born again. The multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Yeah? Yeah, give me the part that says none of them lacked anything. Praise God. So there was no lack. So, you see, the church wasn't just solving the problem of sin. It was also solving the problem of effects of sin. I hope you understand that the current state of the earth is not the will of God. It's the effect of sin. And all the solutions that the world has come up with, it's not ultimate. It's not perfect. The solutions of different types of government, when you talk of Marxism, talk of democracy and all of that, there is corruption in every of those things. When you talk of the monarchical system of government, whatever the world has, you know, all of that, all these formations of systems of government, when you talk of capitalism, socialism, mixed economy, and all those, is a way to like solve the problem of the chaos. You see, but the church must have the solution. You see, but the solution must be a life flow, not an intelligent one. Yeah. It must be a solution that comes from the flow of eternal life that is resident. It's not an economic solution we're providing. Let me make a statement here. Very funny statement. I will get there later. When, you see, Israel came to, because I'm going to use, we don't have enough time. I'm sure I'll end frustrated, but let's just speak. When Joseph brought Israel, you see, to Egypt, one of the abominations of Egypt is to be a shepherd. Like in Egypt, to be a shepherd is an abomination. They hate shepherds. They don't like that occupation. Do you understand? Maybe they worship cows, I don't know, but they don't like that occupation. Yes. So when, but Israel, Jacob's only job he knows, and all the people he came with, all of them are shepherds. Yeah, that's their only occupation. So Joseph told Israel that, I need to speak to Pharaoh. And I need to tell him. Let's read it. Because it's looking like I'm telling a lie. See, I've never seen that in the Bible before. I'm not sure I've never seen that in the Bible before. Richard, if I've never seen that. Yeah. Even my media people. Food to fete, food to fete. You're just there. Pharaoh had a dream, not go alone. I want to lie, So, when you check 39, is it 39? No. 46. Chapter Genesis 46. Let's start from verse 29. So Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. And he presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck for a good while. And Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are still alive." Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, 'My brothers and those of my father's house who were in the land of Canaan have come to me. And the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been to feed flock. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. So it shall be when Pharaoh calls you and says, "What is your occupation?" That you shall say, "Your servant's occupation has been with livestock from your youth even till now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians." Every shepherd is an abomination. So you see, one of the reasons why they put them in Goshen was to separate them. And what did you say to me? it was to like separate them. Praise God. You see, but there was a level of godness, you see, that Joseph had built. Let me say this to you. If you are still enjoying my message, you are still joking. If you like, you enjoy it, you are playing. You see, what I'm preaching to you is not for enjoyment. One. Two, what I'm preaching to you is not, don't waste your time. Like, what I'm saying is, you have the privilege of knowing. My point is that what I'm preaching to you is very sure. That's the point. All this, like you can use it and let it, it can frame your life. And you will turn out a certain way. I'm not seeing topics in the Bible that excites me, that I'm now preaching. No, I'm downloading for you a life that is definite. You can just go on this path and end in a very glorious way. It's a good thing, I tell you the truth. You see, it's most likely going to do you better than your 5 years or 6 years or 7 years in the university. Yeah. I tell you the truth. Now, the point I wanted to make was that, you see, Joseph had developed a kind of, when you weigh Egypt, if Egypt was weighing 100 kg, Joseph was weighing 99. The old nation won. That was the level of weight he had in Egypt. Like, at this point, he was Egypt's lifeline. You know, a lot of stars have passed through Barcelona. You know, a lot of stars have passed through Barcelona. Great stars. You see, but Barcelona had an assumption that Messi is like one of those great stars. That if we lose him, we can get another great star. You know, it's still taking them years to still be Baka. It's not the same Baka again. They have to start again to be Baka. They have not yet. It's no more Baka. There's nothing exciting. Nobody is rushing to go and watch Baka. You see, because they assume that maybe Messi is just is a super. You know, we always sign superstars. We had Ronaldinho, we had Deco. Was Rivaldo ever in Baka? All right, Rivaldo. Ronaldinho, you know, Figo. We usually, but you see, Messi is not like that. Do you understand? He's not like that. He's a genius. He's like, if there were other gods, he would be one of the gods of football. No, I'm serious. He's not an ordinary player. You see, the reason why Pele is respected is that Pele is old. So let's not forget Asian landmark. You understand? I tell you, it's more like that. It's not really. Messi is not, you know, even the person comparing Messi and Ronaldo, arguing vehemently for Ronaldo, in his conscience, he is fighting himself. I told you, in his conscience, he might not tell himself the truth, but in his conscience, he's fighting himself. He just wants to argue. But when he's alone, he's maker. So Messi was like, so you see, Joseph is like the Messi of Egypt. That is what he had become. There's no time. Today's conversation, we should talk it till 3 a.m. Yeah. What I want to share today, we should discuss it till 3 a.m. It's not a preaching, because it's a full download. But we're not yet ready. No, we're not yet ready. We should be talking like this till 3 a.m. By the time we are done, you see, even your face like this will change. I'm serious. You see, by the time you are done, you see, there was a day I went to my spiritual father's house, office. I can't forget that day. When I was done in his office, when I came out of his office, it was not me that went to greet him again. Like I had become a new person, and I could tell what I want to do, and I will get it done. It was just, I can't forget that day. I'd become, like, you can have a moment with a man or with God, you see, that you have just become something else. So Joseph, you see, had matured to be like a god in Egypt. Now there were a few people who got to that level of ranking, but Joseph was like one of the greatest people that got into that level of ranking, you see, because he was not a prophet. He was not a prophet. So that made it very strange. And you see, and those are the things that excite God the most, when you become without an office. You see, when you become without an office, your star is higher. Yes, like your reward is higher. Yeah. You see, believers are going to have higher ranking than those called into the fivefold. Yes. Yes. When we meet the Lord. Yeah. You know why? Because immediately we transcend here, we're going to drop that office. Yeah. Like, if you're a prophet on earth, you will not be a prophet in heaven. Mm-hmm. You understand? In heaven, it is Christ-likeness that is being used to measure rank. Not your office, you see, in the earth for work. I don't know if you are still with me. So, why did I mention what Joseph had become? I mentioned it to let you know that if you walk with God the way you should walk with God, you will become like a god. Yeah, yeah. You can become like God. I don't want you to think that. You see, I don't want you to think that Christianity, genuine walk with God, I don't want you to think that it will just make you a good Christian. No. You will be turning like God. You will be able to do what everybody cannot do. Do you know, there are things I can't think that are normal thoughts that everybody thinks. There are some levels of impossibility that people think that I don't have the ability to think. You see, because I've grown in the spirit. Do you understand? So it determines even how I operate, even in faith. Not necessarily. I'm not even talking at the level of the gift of faith. I'm just talking about the prism with which I perceive life. I don't know if you are here.
Yes, sir.
So this man here, you see, because of Joseph, even though the whole of Israel were shepherds, which is an abomination to Egypt, but because of Joseph, it will not be a disadvantage. I don't know if you are getting the point. You know, there are rules. Like, there are a lot of rules. I remember one of my friends then wanted to do his NYC many years ago. So then I posted him to a city that he didn't like. So everybody said, wow, it's not easy to redeploy. Then redeploying was not like how to, you know, now you can redeploy easily. Then it was very difficult. Now, you must be a big person for you to redeploy. And that can only happen after you have even done your 3 weeks where they sent you to. Like, if you'd redeployed after, that's what I'm talking about is, I'm talking about 15 years ago. So if you redeploy even after 3 weeks, it's because you know somebody then. Now, but this person didn't want to do the 3 weeks at all. So he went to where people's names are. Like, he went to the office where the names of Nigerians are that are doing NYC. So they brought out the book of his own state and gave him the biro to cancel his name by himself. And then gave him another place to write his name. Do you understand? You see, because you are not necessarily aware that possibility exists. But you see, there was a weight in his life. He had a weight. I think someone in his family was a governor of a state. So there was a weight in his life. That's why if you have to pay somebody, you see, to change your this into Lagos, that person does not have weight. The real people who have weight don't used to collect money. They are too big. They are too big. So, like, there was a weight in his life that made what should be impossible possible because of that weight. It was seamless. I tell you the truth, a lot of things that you are hurrying to do, not everybody is in a hurry to do. You see, this visa that you think is a must to travel with, there are people traveling without visa. Like, they wouldn't need visa or passport. They are just going. All this, after 3 weeks, this document will come out. After 2 weeks, you see, those rules is for the public.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is a weight. Do you understand? There is a weight that when that weight is involved in your life. Now, the point I'm making is that you can become a weight. Do you know, as real as poverty is, there is a weight that can enter your life that you will never know poverty again. There is a weight, there's somebody who is a weight.
that you would just begin to feel like a business mongol. I'll be mongo. I tell you the truth. They'll just put you on one board, on one thing, on one particular stuff of $10 billion. They will say you are the something-something advisor, something-something, and you'll just be wearing white shirt and trouser to... I tell you the truth. Now, it's not like... Listen, it's not like you add a new wisdom. It's the same wisdom that was useless to you. But a weight brought you to another level of conversation. Then you now found that what was useless to you, like, it's not eternally useless. It was useless because of where you are, the weightlessness of your environment. Let's read 47. Then Joseph went and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds and all that they possess have come from the land of Canaan. And indeed, they are in the land of Goshen." And he took 5 men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is your occupation?" And they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." And they said to Pharaoh, "We have come to dwell in the land because your servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now, therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen." Then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Have your fathers and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know any competent men among them, then make them chief headsmen over my livestock." Now don't forget, shepherds are an abomination. But there is a weight that changes the story. You see, if you take God seriously, he will make you a weight, even in your own story. So that the previous limitations will no longer be limitations. You can accomplish things in life with weight, spiritual weight. Bible talks about how Jesus, you know, grew, you see, in wisdom and in stature. That's weight. Stature is weight. Then he had favor. So when he said he had favor, it's not like they pitied him. It's that his weight commanded it. Are we together? And he had so men and God was favoring him because of his weight. So you can see here that there is no about, it's an abomination, but Joseph did not even need to tell a lie. You see, like, to make the story somehow, it just says, you will say, you see, that abomination that he says is an abomination. When you meet Pharaoh, you will say that you are. You won't even say that, you won't be skillful about it. You will just repeat. Make I see what Ingo feed do or Ingo feed talk. Have you seen people who were angry about something until somebody who had more weight than them did what they can't take? Somebody who has weight. Do you know how arguments change when another person enters? You just see this guy who was vehemently vexed suddenly has calmed down. He's now saying, no be so. Yeah, because of weight. You know, if this was what I was talking about today, it would have been a good message, but this is not even the message. So, the church
is the kingdom. Oh my goodness. That's why you don't need the five, you don't need to be called to the fivefold office. You see, to have to lead a church. Yeah. Yes. Now you need to be trained by those in the fivefold office. But you don't need to be in the fivefold. That's why you will notice that almost all the churches that Paul went to, a lot of the churches Paul went to raise, he could leave them in a year, in 2 years. He could leave them in the hands of elders who he had introduced the apostolic spirit into them. Are you with me? And then they could run with it. You see, because it's a nation. It is a nation. And that is what we are now migrating into. We're migrating, the church is now migrating into this knowledge I'm talking about. We're now migrating from just being a ministry, you see, that runs powerful midweek. You see, a lot of churches don't even run midweek again. Yeah. They don't run midweek again. A lot of churches are now online. That's a little bit around weightlessness. Can I preach?
Yes, sir.
You see, we can have economic solutions that will make us be able to do daily services, and we are having millionaires and billionaires. And we can come to church every day because we have received a wisdom from the eternal life that is in us that has even brought economic solution even to our... So it's like a nation. It has to be a nation. You see, the end time church has to be a nation. The church Jesus will return to must be a nation. Now, when you check the first church, in their early days, they had to learn nationhood. That's why even the ministry offices, I mean the subsidiary ministry offices, were centered around providing domestic solution. I'm talking about the inauguration of the first deacons. They were not providing ecclesiastic solution.
Yeah.
They were actually providing domestic solution, because if it's a nation, food must be important. So it was not a low thing to ordain deacons so that they can serve bread and rice. It was not a low thing. You see, now if we want to anoint those who will serve bread or rice, is we'll pick those who we are suspecting don't even have it. What I mean by that is, we see it as a menial job. So we give the list of us to do it. And then the big men don't do those kind of things. And it's because we are still doing ministry, we are not yet doing nationhood. You see, if it's nationhood, there will be nothing menial. Do you know, when they make you minister in our nation, maybe minister of agriculture, you know you're not going to feel bad.
Yes.
That's right. Yes, sir.
If they make you minister of agriculture in Nigeria, you know you will go to church on Sunday to do testimony. Because now you have been made to be in charge of the feeding of the nation. It's not a menial thing. But why is it a menial thing in the church? It's a menial thing in the church because we are thinking ministry, we are not thinking nationhood. So we now must be injected with a new spirit that will move us from ministry to what? To nationhood. So that the perils, the people are cut off from the perils of the nation they are in. So that we must create another nation in this nation that will stir up the jealousy of the nation that received us. So it's like we have a nation in a nation. And listen, this has always been what has happened in church history. The reason for persecution of the church was because the people were jealous of the church. Because it was like a nation in another nation. And the kings were always afraid. But you know, right now we have a church who is complaining about the nation. We're always complaining about the nation. Oh, this nation. It's because we are still being fed by the receiving. You see, the nation is just like a host nation. When you come into Zion, your physical nation is like a host nation. Are we together with me? Yes, listen, the American embassy is not aware of your electricity challenges. You see, America is not aware. Listen, America can power light, you see, to the embassy from Brooklyn, if they have to. Like, they'll be, like, from New York, they are getting light. Yeah. They are not aware. That's why if there's a war in your nation, they will most likely not lose one person. You see, because from that place, from that roof, they don't have to go to your airport. No. Yeah, they can move. You see, they are in our land, you see, but that land is like we are like the host nation. We are just hosting them. So we need to begin to, I'm talking especially the leaders, we need to begin to think different, because the things that you think are not concerning you are actually the things that should concern you. Because a lot of us now, what concerns us is sound. But I tell you, sound is not changing the lives of the people. Like, good sound has not changed anybody's life. And a lot of us, all we are thinking of, if the sound is sharp, the lightning, the this thing. We are still doing ministry. We are not yet doing nationhood. Yes. So that our tabernacles are way finer than our people. Are we here, friends?
Yes, sir.
So look at what they use the Holy Ghost to do. Therefore, brethren, seek out among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. We will give ourselves contrary to prayer and to ministry of the word. Let's start from verse 1. Let's read it again. I know, but let's read it again. Now, in those days, when the numbers of disciples was what? Multiplying. That was the kind of growth that they were having. Praise God. You see, have you not wondered why one of the office, one of the ministry offices, not just gift of the Spirit, is the ministry and the gift of administration? Have you not wondered why? Like, it's a ministry office. Pastor, apostle, all of that. One of the major gifts is administration is a spiritual thing. Which we saw Jesus deploy many times in his ministry. You see, that's why when disciples said, send them back, is because they were doing ministry. Like, our work is to preach to them. Jesus said, no, our work is to solve their problems. It's not to preach to them. It's to what? It's to solve their problems. It's not to preach to them. Praise God.
Amen.
Are we together, friends?
Yes, sir.
So we see that the church was like multiplying. Do you know, if this church begins to multiply, we are not sure if we are able to manage it. Because some of you are so attached to your friends that you don't have time to receive somebody new. Yeah. Or Remy, that you are not, like, you don't have the ability. Yeah, some of you are so attached. You're not even aware that the new member is your responsibility. You're not even aware. You still want to go back home with the same person you have been going back home with for the past 6 years. Or Remy Atata, my covenant friend. Yeah. A lot of you are like that. So there are new people who we should have received into the fold that we're not receiving into the fold because we don't even understand the destination. Can I talk to you?
Yes, sir.
Listen, some people are in church not to find God. They are in church because their soul lacks care. It's not yet Jesus yet. It's not yet Jesus yet. It's not yet Jesus. It's just that nobody loved them and nobody cares for them. And the soul is looking for somebody to hug her, greet her, appreciate her, because her father has never told her anything good. And so that's why she came. You see, she has not yet received Jesus. Now for that person, that's the person's problem. Now the kingdom must have a solution for it. Yeah. The kingdom must have a what?
A solution
for it. So people are not just going to join us because they want Jesus. They will join us because of the effects of sin. What sin has done to them. Now we must be able to link them to Christ from everywhere they are. From every challenge. You see, you can link somebody to Christ from joblessness. It's not everyone that will get saved by, do you want to receive Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior? Somebody, people are going to get saved because they've been looking for a job for 5 years. And they got into the church and they got a job that day. And it was so easy, so seamless. And they're like, is this thing even? And they feel like they owe you for just that. And then you let them know you don't owe me. Come and meet who has raised me to be able to give you a job stresslessly. Then that will be, listen, let me say, that will now be their genuine connection to Jesus. Ask me why. The reason is because Jesus met them at the point of their need. So it's a real connection. Because it's at the very point of the person's need. That's why when Jesus was speaking about the anointing that came upon him, he had category of things the anointing was to do. It wasn't, the anointing didn't do the same thing.
Yeah.
Because not everybody has the same problem. Yeah. He said, the Spirit of God has come upon me. You see, to preach the good tidings. Give it to me. That's where. It's in the New Testament and the Old Testament. Pick anyone for me. Now, the Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Then what? He has sent me to heal the broken. So some people, their boyfriend has left them. So some people will enter through heartbreak. They will enter through receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Not everybody will come that way. You are going to meet somebody who lost his boyfriend. And all you are going to be doing is to just pamper the person and be there for the person till the person sees that, oh, there is a love greater than the love of my boyfriend. That's all the person. The person lost his boyfriend. And you don't need to say, you are thinking about boy. You are a stupid person. No. That's the current problem of that person. And you don't say that's not deep. No, that's deep for that person. You see, anything that is a problem to us, Jesus is concerned about it.
Yes.
What troubles you, he wants to solve it. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight. Do you know that when James was going to tell us what true religion is, he told us it's taking care of widows and going to prison. Is that not nationhood?
Yes.
None of that is service. It's not Wednesday service. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You go visit orphans, you visit widows. Are you together with me? You go to prison. I've told you before, when he was going to say we rejected him, when he was telling some people they rejected him, they didn't. He said, when I was hungry. Is that not nationhood? Is that not nationhood? That hunger is not hunger for word of life. It's not like when he was hungry, like when he lacked, when the people lacked the word, the rema. That word hungry is hungarini. Oh, it's a Greek word for spiritual hunger. No. When I was hungry, you gave me food. And thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took. So what's our plan for strangers? What's your solution for strangers? So we must have a solution for strangers. We must have a solution for, you see, when we started this house, when we moved here, we had to create a room for those who need accommodation. Yeah, we had to create a room. And we saw people, that room was like a major rehabilitation center. Yeah. We saw people move from that room to greatness. I tell you. A lot of people, if you have used that room, raise your hand. You have ever used that room before? Paul, get up. If you have used that room, get up. Stand up. See. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And there are more. This is one of the strongest guys in the ministry. He's also one of the strongest guys in the ministry. He's getting married to arguably the finest girl in the church. Get up. If you're finer than her, get up. You see, nobody's getting up. The finest. And that one over there is one of my greatest sons. And there are more people. See them. And some of them needed 6 months there, 7 months there, 1 year there. You see? To transit into greatness. So it means that if we only focused on Wednesdays and Sundays, I would have lost giants. Yeah, these are my giants. If you know what these three people do for me, these three people, they do a lot for me. Yeah. You know, my own love is biased. If you want love that is not biased, go and look for it somewhere. Me, my love is a biased love. I love everyone, but I love those who do things for me more. So if you don't do anything for me, I love you with the love of Christ. Yeah, yeah. But if you do something for me, I'll love you more than I love the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's a biased love. It's not like the same love for everyone. I love some people more than the rest. Do you understand? I need to tell you that so that when I lie to you, you know, I love some people more. Do you understand? Like if you do more, I will just love you more. Do you understand? If you don't do anything, I'll love you. And it will be good. And that will be enough, actually. Like, that will be enough. Like, that will mean sacrifice. That will mean a lot of things. I will do a lot for you. I will sacrifice for you. I will bless you. I will do this. You see, but if you do more for me, I will do more. Like, kill your enemies, you know. And all my enemies that I can't kill. You know, sometimes it pains me. I can't kill my enemies. So, I've decided that, okay, I will kill the enemies of my loved ones. Yeah, because the only enemies God said I should not kill are my own. So I've told God, I will not kill my own. But you didn't, I don't see a verse where it says I can't kill like other people's enemies.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So, for I was, let me check. I don't even know what time it is.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. We'll start tying things. As well. Don't worry, we'll get there. The Holy Spirit will take us to that day where time will not even be a barrier.
Yeah.
You know, when you attend this church, when you attend my service, when I'm preaching, you won't feel like going any other way, any other place. Yeah. It's like I talk very arrogantly these days. I'm suspecting I'm getting more arrogant. You know, the Lord would help me. So it's nation building. It's nation building. We have the responsibility of making the people who can see God to know without a doubt that our God exists.
Yeah.
People who don't know Him, people who their spirit is not regenerated, without a doubt that our God exists. And that cannot be known by the size of our ministry. You see. It must be by the spirit and the wisdom upon which our gathering is, you know, rests on. So when we look at Joseph went through a lot. Are you with me? For him to now carry the kind of weight that he carried. And he carried that weight, and he was able to establish for God, you see, and for God's people, a place where they could live above the challenges of life. Now, you see, one of the things about Joseph was that Joseph is always a problem, a solution provider, always. There was something about it, Joseph. Joseph had a spirituality that had a very beautiful user experience. That was something about Joseph's spirituality. Joseph's spirituality was not for the spiritual. Joseph's spirituality had beautiful user experience. And that was why his promotion was a given. You see, because on earth, promotion is for problem solvers,
yes.
Not problem finders. If you want to be promoted, you see, you don't ask based on entitlement.
Yeah.
It's that you have to solve problems. You see, and that's a mindset all of you must have. You must have a mindset that solves problems. No matter how small the problem is, it's first about mindset. Make sure you are given to solving problems. You see, whenever you find out how a thing cannot work, don't draw a presentation yet. You are not yet done with your findings. Until you find out a solution, you are not yet done with your findings. There is nothing godly about impossible. You understand? Like, the Spirit of God will not be on a document that shows why something that is meant to work cannot work. You see, because our God does the impossible. So immediately you are still at the point where you are sure it can't work, then know that you have not tapped into divine creativity yet. Because there is nothing divine around why it can't work. So it's not like a divine thing. It's not a gift of the Spirit. Knowing what will not work. And knowing why something people want to work will not work. You are not yet flowing any gift. You are just stating the obvious. Well, the thing about Joseph was that Joseph's spirituality
you see, had a very fantastic user experience. And then you must strive and keep pushing until your spirituality has a good user experience. Your spirit, you see, your spirituality must be a blessing. Your spirituality must be a blessing to humanity. You see, that's why, this is how I think. And that's why you find out that I find out how usable is anything we have received from God. That's why I taught the prayer unit how to lead prayers. Because I knew that to be able to pray is one thing. To get the people to pray is what God wants you to do. So that's usable spirituality. Do you understand? If an intercessor can break into the third heavens, but when he's leading prayers, nobody's breaking into the third heavens. Now that's not usable spirituality. And for that, there won't be promotion. So you have to push. Are you? I don't know if you're together with me. So for a man, for example, you must take responsibility. Listen to this. A man must take response. You must own it. You must take responsibility for your bad marriage. Yes. A man, when your marriage is not working, you must sit down and own it. That the reason why my marriage is not working is because I'm unable to convert my spirituality to working marriage. You must tell yourself, I'm you see, don't deceive yourself. Don't say this woman. That is the voice of Adam after he fell. It is the transfer of darkness that emanates from you on another person. So when your marriage is not working, you have to sit down as a man. I'm not talking of a woman now. I'm talking of a man. You have to sit down as a man and own it and say, the reason why my marriage is not working is because I am not practically spiritual. There is a spirituality that is still in its fake form. Because without humility, there's no wisdom. Until you look yourself and talk that way, and say, God, teach me on how to win in my marriage. Then you will now find out that there is a wisdom. Listen, let me say this to you. Free of charge, for those of you who are married. Without revelation from God, no matter your good intention, you will not have a good marriage. See, marriage is impossible. I tell you for free. Marriage is an impossible thing without the Spirit of God. All of us are doomed for a bad marriage. Yeah. That institution is the hardest institution in this life. I'm telling you. You know why? Because that institution mirrors a very high reality. Because when they wanted to make that institution, what they used as the prototype, as the template to make that institution, is Christ and church. Christ, you are not. Church, you are not. So you see, you enter into marriage as a complete failure. It is not a big deal that you're a bad husband. You started as a bad, or you did not develop to be a bad husband. You are a bad husband in as much as you are not Christ. Because he didn't say, husband, love your wife as husband. He said, husband, love your wife as Christ loved. So you have to be Christ to be able to provide the kind of love that makes marriage work. Yes. I tell you. So the reason why your marriage is not working is your lack of Christ-likeness. It's not because you have a bad wife. You don't have a bad wife. I tell you, you are without wisdom. You are without the wisdom of Christ. And we pity you if you keep arguing and keep fighting and saying, you this woman, you this woman, you this woman. It's not going to take you anywhere. You have to go and pray and fast and tell God, please give me wisdom to be married. You see, as a man, the person you are married to, your wife, is a compilation of generational problems. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. You are married to a complicated soul. You think you married a beautiful girl? You see, you married a soul that is been messed up. And the mess up in that soul is generational. And even this soul does not even know the problems embedded in it. That's what you married. So you have to discover the problem. You need revelation to discover the problem. Then you need revelation to handle the problem. And you need patience to watch healing happen. Some of the problems you think you and your wife are having over food or money, that is just the camouflage. You are dealing with the problem that is not. What you might be dealing with might be low self-esteem. You might be dealing with insecurity. You are dealing with things that are intangible, yes, but are active. Yes. Things that have never been tampered, things, darknesses that nobody has tampered with, yes, is raw and fresh and congealed. They now brought it close to you. You now think it's by poem. You see, the girl you are fighting is a girl you should be feeling for. Because the person causing you pain is only because she's in pain. You see, it's like being concerned that the person who just went through an accident and broke his leg and is being rushed to the hospital, you are angry at the person is shouting. Person, yeah! You see, that is the description of some of the problems going on in your home.
Yes, sir.
It's a soulish crisis. It's crisis in the soul. That is what is causing some of the problems. So that's what you are going into when you say you want to marry.
Yes, sir.
That's why Paul advised us not to marry. And even you, who you have been called to that responsibility, you also have your own deep problems continued. So you need help. That's why brokenness and humility is the greatest gift that can make you have a healthy marriage. Brokenness and humility. Brokenness and humility. Those who enter marriage with a sense that they know what they are doing, they are the ones I laugh at the most. Because they will be shocked at their failures. But you see, they will be shocked at their failures later, because what do we first see? Is their spouse's failure. Yeah. You see, the woman that I married is the best one. Now I'm telling you, it's the best one. My eyes is purified. It's the best one ever. You understand? Because another one is a problem. You understand? And I can't risk. You see, it's like going to the no testing market. I go and buy big plasma, no testing. I remember the guy who bought no testing, big plasma. And there was absolutely no panel, nothing inside. It was just cardboard. Yeah, they just put a lot of cardboards and they screw it for the person. Yeah. No testing. I tell you, the person you are married to is even the person that God told you not to marry. I tell you. You see, the reason why God told you not to marry this one is not because the one he told you to marry will give you peace. Yeah. I tell you. God knows that anyone you marry, there will not be automatic peace. Yeah. There is no man or woman that you marry that is not a problem. Yes. Problem is a given.
Yes.
Yeah. In marriage, problem is a given. Frustration is a given. Until you step into revelation.
Hallelujah.
And what I mean by revelation is God, the Spirit of God must now begin to teach you. And sometimes it will be tough. I remember recently, it was very tough. Yeah, one particular day. I did tough. You see, me and my wife were by our side and we're making tough decisions. Apologies without feeling. Apologies without feeling. Apologies you don't want to give ever in your life. But because you are doing revelation marriage, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, sometimes you are even negotiating the apology with the Lord. And you're saying, Lord, are you really the one speaking to me? I want to be sure, are you really telling me that I should apologize? The Lord says, yes, I'm the one telling you that you should apologize. Say, I'm sorry for what I did. And I heard nothing. Did you hear what I just said now? I too am sorry for what I did. Now we now move to our source. Yeah. I just move to source. All right, no problem. Revelation.
Yeah.
You can't be yourself. What scripture were we reading before we came here? Huh? I can't hear you. Man, the kind of shoes Magic is making lately is another level. Man. I'm feeling so good in this. I looked at the floor and I just felt, wow. Are we together, friends? So Joseph had practical spirituality. You see, his spirituality influenced his life. And that was why he had promotion always. When he was in Potiphar's house, you see, he didn't get all he got in Potiphar's house via prayer.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, let this administration favor me, oh Lord. That's not how it happened. Joseph behaved himself
in a spiritual manner that Potiphar had to make him the head.
Yes.
Are you looking at me?
Yeah.
Do you understand? It was not like Mercy chose him. Or Mercy said no. Nothing like that. It was spirituality.
Yes.
The Bible says that godliness is what is profitable in all things. That when you are truly godly, there will be profit.
Yes.
The reason why you are not promoted is because you are not spiritual. If you're spiritual, you should be promoted.
Yes.
If the ways of the man please the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. So, spirituality will make you have favor at work.
Yes.
Because you are good at what you are doing and you are good on the basis of your character. Your character is divine. It's the spirit is leading. Like you are the choice. Like the people want to choose you because you have peace. You see, you are resourceful, you are joyful, you are loving. That was one of the things that made Nehemiah get favor.
Yes.
It's not prayer that made Nehemiah.
Yes.
It's practical spirituality that made Nehemiah get the favor from the king. It wasn't prayer. If it's prayer, it's because prayer was used to fuel self-development. Are we together here?
Yeah.
Are we here? There was a scripture that was on here before this one. What scripture was it? Let's start from verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, and the Egyptian bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found favor in his sight and saved him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, and he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of the house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph. So you can see here that there was something about Joseph. It was like there was a blessing in his life. Now this blessing, are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
This blessing does not come by fluke. It only comes when you are walking in the ways of the Lord. Come on, say walking in the ways of the Lord.
Walking in the ways of the Lord.
You have to, the blessing doesn't come from day one. It's like a reward that God puts upon us. When we walk in his ways. Listen. There are some blessings of God upon my life. Not all of it, but there are some that can tell you which particular way of God I am walking in that made God confide it on me.
Yes.
Not all of it, but there are some I can tell you. And the reason I can tell you, because God has told me. And the reason I'm doing this, you see, is because of this that you are doing. Are you together with me?
Yes.
One of it that I say, that God likes that I do, like God likes it, is that I take care and I love his servants. Because he's told me himself. Like it's the way of God. When you love God's servants, it has his blessing. Yeah. There's a blessing attached to those who love, because it's not a natural thing to love God's servants. It's a spiritual thing. You don't know. Listen, it's more natural. When you find out that you love God's servants,
It's a work of the Spirit. Yeah. Because Jesus Christ told us that they hated me, so they are going to hate you. So naturally speaking, God's servants attract hatred. Yeah. Do you know, everything is okay for everybody to have until a preacher has it. Yeah. It's until a preacher has it. You are not concerned when maybe somebody's wearing one kind of very sharp suit. But then you see your pastor wear one bad suit. Maybe I just snack one kind of Gucci or one thing that you just see. Pah! Your ear will just spark that kind. It's like no now. Like, pastor. Even to the point of when a pastor is handsome. Like it's an issue. No, I'm serious. You rarely see people talk about somebody being handsome. It's not like an issue of discussion. Until you see an handsome person say, pastor, you might find care. It's like it's like God should have chosen the ugly ones. Do you know if, for example, if a normal person marries a beautiful girl, it's nothing. They say, pastor, sir, good they marry fine wife, sir. It's never something you say that maybe a doctor married a fine person. Yeah. Like it's not, but when is a pastor? All these pastors, they're fine. Because there's an expectation that what is not good, let the servants of God have it. Yeah, no. When you see Davido come with a private jet or whiskey or rosé. You know rosé? You don't know rosé? What's his full name again? Rick Ross, like rosé. Like. No, not Rolls Royce. Not Rolls Royce. I'm talking of Rick Ross. When you see Rick Ross, you don't know Rick Ross. This. Pastor Dara, you know Rick Ross. Pastor B, you know Rick Ross. My nigga, man. It's crisscross. When Rosé is flying on his private jet and they put his name on his jet, it looks nice. But when a man of God is flying a private jet, there is a way you feel like, you just feel somehow. Theories begin to fly in your head. Church money tight. In fact, some people get to a point where they start to feel entitled. Yeah. That's like when you had no, we're with him when he had not become anything. No. Now he has forgotten us. Yeah. I've heard it severally. Yeah. One day somebody years ago, we're still in poverty. Yeah, we're still poor. Somebody went to meet my wife and said, you are not enjoying, you have forgotten us. Yes. Like in a meeting, like it was a big deal. Not like in passing. Like you have forgotten us, you are not enjoying. That you know, people don't give us things, but people give you people things. Like physically, not like rumor, not like you eavesdrop somebody, like confrontation. Like people give you things. People don't give us things, but you have forgotten us. And my wife has to be explained that no, we are still poor. Yes. Like you have to be, you know, things you don't want to confess. You have to like, you know, sometimes things you don't say, so we are still poor. I tell you, we are still poor. Yeah, like confrontation. We're there for him. Was I not the one that bought him his first shoe? Was I not the one that got him his first stuff? I bought him his first. Don't even, let's not go there. Yeah. You know, if pastors see what they go through, and there will not be time. You understand? We don't even care about what we go through. We don't care. We're ready to go through more. Because we know it's war. Yeah, so we'll just keep moving. He says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So, like, preparing you for hatred. So I'm talking about how the blessing of God is because you are doing something right. So I give an example. That one, for me, God told me I was driving. I know exactly where I was. And God said, the reason why this particular blessing is upon you is because I love that you love my servant. And because of that, this thing is upon you. So you have to move in the ways of the Lord. When you move in the ways of the Lord, there will be blessings upon you. Are you with me?
Yes,
so we began to see the blessing of God upon Joseph, even in Potiphar's house. You know, it's almost as though Joseph always has a solution. You know, what made Joseph to eventually be auditioned to be a king, a prime minister, was because he saw somebody who didn't look happy. Now, he saw somebody who didn't look happy in prison that he was illegitimately locked in. And he was still more concerned about solving the person's problem. So that's practical spirituality. You know, he didn't deserve to be in that prison. And then he could be sulking all his life. You know, that encounter that Paul and Silas had was that they were praising in prison. You know, it's like when you want God to manifest, you have to learn his ways. Like, you have to find out what's the way of God. Not just enjoy Bible study. Okay, what is the way of God? And then you begin to make it a lifestyle. Are you together with me? So, let me just wrap it up for today. So in the house of Potiphar, he was very great there. You know, I see that you are going to be a very great person.
Amen.
You are not sounding like I see right. Let's read the next verse. Thus, he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had, except for the bread which he ate. Like Potiphar so much trusted Joseph, that Potiphar was no longer concerned about the accounts or the records. The only thing Potiphar knew was this food. Joseph was in charge. And Joseph don't freshen up. Himself was doing fine. You don't fresh up, die. He says, now, Joseph was, when?
Now.
You understand? In the top life. So you see, when you perfect divine character, it's like you'll be wealthy.
Yes.
You see, sometimes you think you need money. No, you need character. That when you focus on divine character, you will now be handsome in form and in appearance. Meaning that it was handsome in face, in appearance, talking about the kind of son. So when you see waiting Joseph wear, now authentic. The Gucci is not it's real, it's Gucci. It's not like it's Gucci. I need to get out of me. So you can see here that the character that God is forming in you is what is going to grant you weight. Let me say this to you. You don't have to want promotion. Don't stress yourself wanting it. If you focus on character and the ways of God, they will beg you for it. You don't have to want promotion, any kind of promotion. You don't have to want it. Just begin to adjust your character and operate divine. Practical spirituality. Spirituality that works. spirituality that solves problems. Like you can never get Joseph to a disadvantaged place. Man, Joseph's character is impeccable. Yeah. It's too much. I'm not near it at all. It's too much. You see, Joseph chose, you know, going to jail for Joseph is a choice. Yeah. Yeah. It's a choice. Because he knows that if he refused that woman, he knows he's going to jail. You're sorry. Lati nule ko washo. Would the woman say, I wanted to sleep with him? He knows what the woman will say. Immediately he left that place, he knew that he could die. But Joseph chose death than to betray his character.
Yes.
No, he's not a normal human being.
Yeah.
He's not a normal human being. The man chose death than to betray his character. And the real character that hit me, I don't have this character, I don't have it. It's my prayer point this week. I don't have it. That how do you cherish another more than your pleasure? No, it's not an easy thing. Like his real issue was that for Joseph, he put Potiphar before him. Two people he put before him. He put God and he put Potiphar before him. Now, we don't do that. We put ourselves before others.
Yeah.
Well, because the woman did not, you see, the woman did not tell him to come and drink agbo.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't tell him to come and do a tough thing.
Yeah.
She told him to come and enjoy his life. Yeah. Sex is not a thing that when you are doing it, you'll be crying. Like, sex is, I don't know who. If you are married, you understand what I'm talking about. That sex is a thing that when they tell you to come, like you are happy. It's like you are happy. Maybe you just noticed that today there's going to be sex. You are like excited. Do you understand?
Yeah.
It's the most fun thing ever. It's the most, forget all the serious looks people give you. Like, forget everybody looking like, it's a lie. It's a big lie. It's a big lie. Forget all these 5 minutes of enjoyment people used to use to ridicule sex. The thing is, that 5 minutes of enjoyment here, sometimes is more fun than 3 hours of other types of enjoyment.
Yeah.
That's why kings, everybody, kings, you hear big people, Bill Clinton, everybody. I tell you, it's a very powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing. If you're not ready to have sex, don't near the thing.
Yeah.
It's a very powerful, leave it alone.
Yeah.
Just leave it alone till when you can have it. If you near the thing like this, you are finished. You are finished. I'm telling you the truth. I don't know what your other preachers told you, but I'm telling you the truth. It's a very powerful thing. Just leave it. Behave as if you are not interested. Cut yourself off. Just go and do something. Maybe wash plates or sweep floor. Just do other things. So he was called to enjoy that. And I tell you the truth. The chances of Potiphar finding out is almost zero. No, he can't find her. You see, but his point was that. But he refused and said to his master, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. He has committed all he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So there were two things that he put first, the master and God. So you can see that weight of character.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are the type of characters we need to build.
Yes,
are we together here?
Yes.
Upon which the blessing of God rests. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, you know what I'm, do you know what I'm tracing? I'm tracing for you the graph that made a man be able to raise a nation. That's what I'm trying to say. Because the nation of Israel was possible because of Joseph. Not even because of Israel. I mean, not because of Jacob. It was because of Israel. For them to have a place to settle, God had to raise a man of power. It takes power to make Israel a people. Are we here? Are you all listening to me? I don't know, I can't hear your voice. Are you listening to me? So we have to go for these types of strength or power. But the intention, the real reason why I'm preaching, you see, his nationhood. So that, you see, we can create a base for the people of God. The people of God, those saved and unsaved, are looking for a Goshen. Can we be the Joseph? See, over 400 years after Joseph had gone, Israel had become something else. Yeah. Check Exodus chapter 1. I wanted us to look at 6 or 7 things about this stuff. Are we together?
Yes,
sir. Can you start from verse 6 or verse 5? And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already, and Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Can you see this kind of... Can you see this? Can you see what the Spirit of God can do with the people? Yeah. It's not their land. They were fruitful. They increased to how? Abundantly. You know, this word is the word over this church. Do you remember? Do you remember?
Yes, sir.
They were fruitful, increased abundantly, multiply, wax exceedingly mighty. Exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. You know what that means? It means that anywhere you look, you see an Israelite. Everywhere, an Israelite is there. Any field, an Israelite is there. Anywhere you go, an Israelite is there. You go to immigration place, a GCC person is there. You go to the army, GCC is there. You go everywhere. You get to the White House. Yes. Is that which branch? Yes. Which community are you from? Awara Brooklyn Lawa. Nebu leti tedu, atibu leti tedu, atibu leti tedu. Atabe okuta ni motiwa. Give it to me, please. Now, there arose a new king over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. You see? So Joseph's knowledge was the reason for this prosperity. I mean, that there was a knowledge of Joseph that made prosperity happen. So it means that there must be something contained in Joseph that can raise a nation. And so there was a king who did not know Joseph. And the second thing that was not written here was that another Joseph had no reason for this king to know. Let's see. And he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more. You understand? There are like the host nation says, these people that have even passed our population. So that nation is almost looking like, is it still Egypt or Israel? Are we in Israel or in Egypt? They are more and mightier than we. So the church can be mightier than its host nation.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are we thinking?
Yes.
He said, what I'm preaching must provoke your spiritual thoughts.
Yes.
That's what I'm doing. It must provoke you. And it must be, you must begin to download systems and patterns.
There are mightier
than we. So it means in this community, for example, we should be mightier than this community.
Yes.
Yeah, we should be mightier. We should have more solutions than the local government chairman.
Yeah.
Yes, now I don't know who he is or what he is doing. But I doubt if he's doing stuff, because I've not heard about what he's doing. But people are already hearing about what we are doing.
Yeah.
But we can still be mightier. Are you with me? We can be mightier. We can be consulted.
Yeah,
the government should consult us. Say, how are you guys doing this thing? There was a church in London at one time. The mayor used to consult them. In fact, there was a time a budget of about $1 million was approved. And the reason for that budget is to monitor them, like to check them. So there was a budget approved by the government, and the budget was about $1 million, because the church was bringing an end to the knife crisis in London. London had a major knife crisis. So they said, we need to study this thing. So they approved the budget and then put pressmen to be following the set men everywhere and watch how he lives, to study how he's solving the problem. Because people were dropping their knives. Are you checking out me? You see, but I'm telling you, these solutions must come from the spirit of life. It's not a mental thing, because if it starts from the mind, it has become motivational. It's like, oh, I'm not talking about youth empowerment. I'm not talking about youth. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. I'm not talking youth empowerment or soap making. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. So the difference is that you will find out that what is supreme is not jobs. What is supreme is Christ and his worship. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war, that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. You see, but the more they afflicted them, the more the what? They multiplied, they grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel. Hallelujah. The time has really gone, I didn't know. I have to stop here. Are you blessed? I have to stop here. I have about 7 points. Have not touched one. Of the 7 points that we needed to look at. I'm just trying to lay foundation for what we are to look into. Let me wrap up with Psalm 105 verse 19. We can start from 17. Or go back it up. Back it up. Or let's start from 1. It's our Bible. Quickly, quickly, quickly. I want to wrap up. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory to his holy name. Let the hearts of those who rejoice of the hearts. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant which he made with Abraham and the oath and his oath to Isaac. And confirmed it to Jacob for a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant. Saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. When they were what? Few in numbers. Indeed, very few and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake. So you can see that they moved from nation to nation. They moved from peoples to peoples. But they didn't have a king. But because they didn't have a king, God was the one dealing with kings. Let's see. Saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was so, so not all sending is ceremonious. So, when Joseph was sent, the way he got his own sending was through slavery. You see, but if he didn't have the Spirit of God, he would think slavery is slavery. But he knew slavery was sending. So he was so not all sending is with oil. Some sending is with employment letter. You got a job, you don't know it's sending. You think it has to be oil. Not all sending. Are you listening to me? Yes. Not all sending is oil. Some sending, it will be very mundane. Yes. Some sending will look negative. Yes. But it's a sending. I tell you the story of when Tunde Bakare said, well, he told Papa Adeboye he didn't like how they was raising money that they needed. And then daddy said, okay, bring the money if you don't like how we are, oh, I will raise the money. He said, don't worry, I'll bring the money. And then he said, the Lord bless you, the Lord would. And then a day or 2 days after the blessing, he lost his job. I was going to get married 3 weeks later. Then he said, daddy, you pray for me, I lost my job. And daddy said, is it with the salary you want to sponsor the gospel? So, that's why God had to take you. So that sack letter was a sending. A lot of you don't even know how wealthy that man is. People don't know because he does not brag. You don't even know how wealthy that man is. Very early. He was wealthier than all of them in the early stages. Very wealthy. The man at the time, a long time ago, also had a private jet. People did not know. Yeah. Very wealthy man. So he got a sack letter but was ascending. So do you see what prayerlessness does to you? Yes. Prayerlessness does not help you to interpret your season.
Yes.
Because it is in prayerfulness you can truly know what's going on.
Yes.
So the slavery was sending. Let's see. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. So there are two types of word here. His word and the word. That's actually the introduction of this teaching. This scripture. This is my first point. where we begin to understand the difference between his word and the word. So before his word could come to pass, the word had to test him. So the testing of that word is the word testing here is the word purifying. Yeah. So he was being purified for his word. So the word until his word came to pass, what it actually means is that his word did not come to pass. That's this. His KJV is English. His KJV English. His word did not come to pass until the word attested him. And you see, what tests you? You see, it's not only purifying you. One is purifying you, but it's purifying you to the standard. So the standard there is what was used to test you. So he will be purified, but he will be purified and he will be it must be like the word. Then his word will now come to pass. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
So all those clothes of multicolor he was wearing and those visions he was seeing, that was his word. Which introduced, which legitimized the presence of the word. Then the word was the one that led him to slavery and taught him how to react in slavery. So when you see him, that thing that happened in the prison, you see, his last temptation was actually in Potiphar's house. The one in prison was just test running of what had been done. So this guy was in prison, but he was still taking... You see, in prison, they still made him head of prisoners. It was already... The work had been done. So when he saw somebody not looking happy, he was saying, your face is somehow... Have you noticed that people who work with kings are always concerned about other people? And they don't frown. They're happy. Just like Nehemiah also. Let's see. We'll pick it up another day. But this is the intro. Because we also need to find out, how do I get my word? There is a process in getting your word. Because it's not everywhere that has that his word. How do you get to a place where a word becomes your own? There are things you need to do that get you to that place. Not everybody's living. A lot of people are living to have a good life, while others are living because they have received a word, his word. Is it? There are two different kinds of life. Father, we thank you. Take all the glory. Don't worry, don't bother. Don't be religious. There's not a lot of prayer, but maybe when you are alone, because we have not even looked at the scripture that we're meant to look at. So let's just, we just repent. Yeah? The Spirit of God will keep helping us. Don't try not to clap, okay? I know you appreciate me, but just take the mood to your house.